ॐ अज्ञान्तिमिनन्दस्य ज्ञानाञ्जलाशलाकाय चक्षुरुं मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। हे श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके या those who have joined, they can message in the group also, so everyone will know.
Okay.
So let us start with any questions. Obviously, we had two questions from the BG class, and we'll discuss that. I think let some of the devotees also join, then you know we can start discussing that. But in the meantime, any other question?
As we go, I'm sure questions will pop up.
Okay. Okay. Let me address one. Can we stay in Dham for more than 3 days? Can we stay in the Dham? Prabhupada said a couple of times that one should not stay in the Dham for more than 3 days. So can we stay in the Dham for a longer period of time?
As we know that it's not right to stay a long time because everything reflects more than whatever we do, we will get more. I don't know how many times we get them back. So if we do bhakti, it's okay, good. It's good, yeah. But at the same time, if we are not able to do bhakti whole time because of our conditioning.
Okay, so you're specifically talking about Vrindavan Dham.
I think this is applied for all Dham, no? It's not only for Vrindavan. No?
It does not apply for all Dham. So what is the answer?
So Prabhuji, is this given in the scriptures or it's our Acharya's point of view?
See, the scriptures describe the glories of the Dham and they also provide the offenses to the Dham. And so then after that, after our acharyas, they comment on that.
Okay.
But so because of that offenses, only no.
Huh?
Because of that offenses we commit, that's why acharyas said that it's not a right way to stay long time in Dham.
See, actually, if you say, like, you know, okay, let me also clear this point that definitely offenses are there in the Dham. But there is one difference, you know, like, okay, you know, because the question can be asked that then why are we chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra on a daily basis? Because, you know, still offenses to the holy name are always there.
There we are chanting the Panch Tattva Mantra also to give us immunity against the offenses. And then we remind ourselves every day of the 10 offenses so that we make an attempt, conscious attempt to refrain from the offenses as much as possible.
Yeah, that's a good point. Anything more on that?
A child will make mistakes, that doesn't mean the child will stop trying. So the father will
we are bound to make mistakes. So so then does it mean that one can stay in Braj?
Yeah.
So what is the main difference between chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and living in Braj?
Maha Mantra is meant for Kali Yuga. So that is where we are. Because the Dham is eternal and maybe it comes with stricter norms.
See, both are eternal. You know, Holy Name is also eternal. Dham is also eternal.
Okay.
But specifically recommended for Kali Yuga. So now what does this mean?
That means
see, actually there are see one more thing. There are shastras which glorify the Dham like anything, and they also inspire and encourage the devotees, Vaishnavas, to live in the Dham. So, you know, although Kali Yuga, obviously Harinam is the recommended Yuga Dharma, but living in the Dham is also highly recommended. So now, how do you decide whether you should live in the Dham or whether you should not live in the Dham? How do we decide? Because offenses are in both cases, we have the offenses. In Harinam also, living in, and specifically for obviously Braj Bhumi. Because Mahapur Navdeep Dham, as we know, that it does not take any offenses because related to God Nithai. And Jagannath Puri Dham is also very special, very Adarya, merciful Dham because of Jagannath's presence. You know, Jagannath is very merciful. So, you can say that specifically for Radha Krishna worship, offenses are taken into account seriously, more seriously than Jagannath Puri also. So how do we decide whether we should, like, you know, for example, there are devotees, they have the desire to stay in the Dham also. And obviously anyone, any devotee who would go to the Dham, they have to develop that greed and hankering that they would want to reside in the Dham forever. Because Dham is our real home. We should start thinking, and you know, if we are not able to feel that naturally that Dham is actually our eternal home, then we have to hanker for it. We have to develop a desire to, and then obviously we have to practice. We have to get that hankering for the Dham. Now, anything connected to Krishna, it has to be cultivated, okay, favorably, and we have to hanker for that. That is for sure. So if you don't have the taste, greed, then you develop that taste and greed. Finally, you know, you should have the desire that you want to eternally live in the Dham, and this place is just a temporary place. So any pure devotee or advanced Vaishnava, they always carry the Dham in their heart. Right? Because they always remember the Dham. See, it's not just about remembering Krishna, his pastimes, but anything connected to Krishna, they always want to. And Dham is obviously the ultimate desire, culmination of all the desires, you know, for a devotee. They want to always be in the Dham with the Lord and the associates. So like, just as, you know, we want to invite Krishna in the heart so that, you know, the Lord gives us darshan or we experience Krishna in the heart. So similarly, things connected to Krishna also should manifest in the heart. So the Dham has to also, the desire to still live in the Dham has to be there, should be cultivated. Because here we are attached to our comforts in Mumbai, you know, as a city, and so many facilities are there. There is no problem. I mean, you know, externally, Dham might have a lot of austerities and problems. But finally, we have to know that it is the abode of our Lord and the associates. And that is where we are actually aspiring to go, right? We go back, we say many times, we go back to Godhead. But then what is Godhead? Godhead is also manifested in the Bhoma, earth planet, right? So that is also non-different from back to Godhead. So now, so can we stay in the Dham? There are many Gaudiya Math devotees who prefer to do that. They want to stay in the Dham. You know, and there are, and they practice sadhana bhakti there.
Prabhuji?
Yeah.
We can stay in the Dham, but because of preaching, because this movement is a preaching movement, that is why people go and charge themselves in the Dham and then come out to preach.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So this is the point. See, it's all about inspiration from a particular acharya. And specifically, you know, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, you know, he has emphasized that we have to share Krishna consciousness with others. So Prabhupada actually was the one who did. And now you see the background of Prabhupada, that he spent 6 years, almost 6 years in Vraj, before leaving Vraj and giving us Krishna consciousness. So he did, you know, intense bhajan in Vraj for 6 years. And then you know, you see Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur also, he was chanting 192 rounds for a span of 10 years or something. I mean, I don't remember the exact number of years, but he was chanting in Navdeep. Huh?
10 years.
Yeah, 10 years. No? So around 10 years he chanted 192 rounds. You know, he did bhajan in the Dham, in Navdeep. Right? So one can say that, I mean, see, these are Nitya Siddha devotees, but they are setting example that how a sadhaka should also take shelter of the Dham. And there is so much potency in the Dham. So living in the Dham, but as Mataji was also saying that, you know, we have to be careful. We cannot jump in the Dham without proper qualification, especially for Vraj. And more than that, you know, the most important thing is you should have the permission and blessings of your Guru. Right? Because as Mataji was saying that if you are not doing bhajan in the Dham, then you will behave like a materialistic person. So you will commit sinful activities actually in the Dham. And probably you might commit aparadha also to the Dham. So again, you know, there will be no use of staying in the Dham. So it all depends. So why do we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra? Because it is recommended in the Shastra. So that means that it is recommended by the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically came and then he gave the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and he advised everyone to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the authority. He is giving, because he is telling us, we are chanting. So the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is coming from Parampara to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And now, interestingly, Hare Krishna Mahamantra was not there before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. I mean, Hare Krishna Mahamantra is always there, but he was the one who actually introduced it as a Sankirtan movement. The most important emphasis that he gave was on the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. So, Nam Sankirtan, this was actually introduced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Madhavendra Puri, you know, he was not chanting the Mahamantra probably, or he was not performing Nam Sankirtan. He was just chanting his Gayatri. So it was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually who introduced this, and then obviously it was recommended in the Shastra, so that means that for every Kali Yuga it's a recommended process, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually emphasized that. Okay, and the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they do the Harinam Sankirtan. So now, and because, you know, so it is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is the reason we are chanting holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not say that all of you should go and stay in Vraj forever. Is there an instruction like that? It might be a specific instruction for some devotees who might have some important services. Like he sent the Goswamis to Vrindavan. Right? So they did bhajan there, they did services there. So they are Goswamis. Right? And he sent the most ideal examples, the Goswamis, you know, who are actually really literally Goswamis in the sense they were controller of the senses. They are Swamis of their senses. So we know the life history of our Goswamis, you know, how much bhajan they did like almost 24 hours they were actually doing bhajan. They had no taste for anything else. So such kind of devotees were actually staying in Vrindavan, and obviously they were the most qualified. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked them to go to Vraj and do services. Other devotees, Nityananda Prabhu sent to Bengal to preach. Many and many other devotees actually he sent to different places to preach. Right? And then he himself was in Jagannath Puri. So we have to see certain things. It is not so simple to, you know, directly take a decision that I want to go to the Dham, so I will just go. Now, what is the reason, first of all, of going to the Dham? Is it because of frustration in Mumbai or other cities? Because, you know, you want to escape from all the anxieties and just live a very peaceful life? If that is the reason, then that's not the main reason. That is not good enough to stay in the Dham. The main qualification for living in the Dham has to be service attitude. And obviously, the Guru knows, you know, what is your attitude, so he will accordingly give instructions. And if there is a very important service for you at the Dham, then yeah, definitely. Like, you know, we have ISKCON Krishna Balaram Temple in Dham. And then we have, obviously, for that we need so many devotees to maintain the temple. And then we have the Gurukul also, Bhaktivinoda Gurukul, international school they have made. So there are devotees who are behind that. And the 24-hour kirtan also started from Ananda Prabhu's example. So there are devotees who are actually maintaining that after Ananda Prabhu left. Right? So it all depends on the service and the blessings of Guru. So it is not that a devotee cannot go to the Dham and cannot stay in the Dham. But if the Guru feels that, you know, this service is best for you in the Dham, or by going to the Dham, he has some specific purpose for you, a task for you. Like, you know, for example, first of all, for a sadhaka, it is very difficult. Like, one cannot say that I will go to the Dham, perform bhajan like Prabhupada, and then I will come and preach in the Western world. It's very difficult for a sadhaka to actually claim that, because you cannot leave the Dham. You will not feel like going anywhere else. You know, when we are in the Dham, we don't want to go out of the Dham. Right? Who is going to leave? You know? And Prabhupada's time also, who left Dham? Everyone was again in the Dham. All is God brothers. Only Prabhupada actually was the one who had that intense greed and desire to share Krishna consciousness. So he left Dham. And then he gave Dham to everyone, right? So this is one thing. Second thing is that Dham also depends on the association of devotees. It's not necessary that you go to the Dham and you will find a favorable association of devotees or like-minded association of devotees. You might feel miserable in the association of devotees in the Dham. So again, you will be miserable. Because, see, that is the most important element, right? If you don't have proper association, if you are not engaged in proper service in the Dham, then what is the use of going to the Dham? You cannot be like a Badnanandi, isolate yourself and just focus on Radha Krishna and, you know, their pastimes and all. That is very artificial, imitation. So that's very cheap. So obviously, the most important factor deciding that you must go to Dham is basically service. If you have very important service, which you can offer compared to other services in outside the Dham, then you can definitely go. And then the, you know, the approval of the Guru has to be there. So, see, they want to seek the blessings of the Vaishnavas. So, whether it is going to the Dham and serve, or whether it is outside the Dham, whichever service, whichever way, in whichever country, you know, we always want to take blessings of Vaishnavas before serving. Right? So, if you don't have blessing from Guru, then definitely you are at risk, high risk. You know, especially in Vrajbhumi, you know, there is a lot of high risk. Right? We are discussing for devotees. You know, all these things we discuss, it is for devotees. For non-devotees, you know, earlier I had mentioned that 3 days for non-devotees, you know, especially in Vrindavan, because there are chances of committing sinful activities and aparads. They don't understand many things. So for them, recommended 3 days. Now, for devotees, they can, you know, if they have a yatra or they have a devotee association, you know, sincere devotee association, and they have gone for a yatra or something, then definitely they can stay more than 3 days. 7 days, 10 days, 15 days, whatever, 1 month, Vrajmandal Parikrama they have, you know. So that is absolutely okay. But we should always be in association of devotees. Okay, and we have to also relish our Krishna consciousness in the Dham, so that when we come back, we can actually go, I mean, so that experience will take us deep in our Krishna consciousness, and then we become more firm in our conviction. And then when we come and go, you know, outside and preach, then, so it is like, you know, recharging of batteries. Right? Prabhupada said that every devotee should, in twice in a year, he should come to the Dham and they should recharge their batteries. Okay, and then we can preach. So this is like, you know, so basically, see, now the Gurukul building that they have made in Vrindavan, International School, that's a great opportunity to make, you know, children devotees. Because if they become devotees right at their age of 5 years, then, you know, it is very helpful in their future life. So that's a great preaching. So who can deny that, right? So if they are serving there in the BGIS, you know, they have some important service, then that is also preaching. And then, you know, you have so many people. So it all depends, you know, like it's case to case specifically. I mean, in general, the attitude of an ISKCON devotee should be, and whether which place and where, you know, that is all depending on the disciple and the guru. They have to decide this. But we have to make sure that, you know, whether we are going to the Dham just to escape the material world and thinking that, okay, you know, now we'll be peaceful, we can just focus on our bhajan, that is not the right attitude. In fact, to be in the Dham is more challenging than to be in cities outside of Dham. That can be very tough, actually. In fact, I will also tell you one thing, that the association in our Vrindavan temple, you know, it's not like, I mean, I don't think anyone would be comfortable. Like, I would not say that everyone would be comfortable living in Vrindavan in the association of devotees, because they have a different mood there, you know. It's mixed, obviously. You know, there are devotees from different background, culture, and of different gurus also. It's a mixture of everything. And so it becomes very difficult to adjust with that environment. It takes a long time. And there is a lot of difference of opinion also. Okay, so it is nothing is going to be easy. If you want to escape from something problematic, you will find more problematic situations if you run from that. And if you try to solve the problems, then you can actually advance. So it's not that, you know, just running away from the problem will be able to make advancement. Problems will be there everywhere, actually. You see, in Braj Bhumi, maximum problems were there when Krishna was there. One, you know, the acharya say that every day some demon, in a day there were 3 demons were sent in Braj. So the Vrajvasis were in constant anxiety. So we should not think that, you know, things will be so easy. Yeah, the mercy is there, you know, we get the benefit 1,000 times. But by committing aprad, we get, again, you know, our bhakti goes away by 1,000 times. So it is the same thing, you know, so you have to be careful.
So Prabhuji, 3 days is the rule for us to be
forward. Three days for non-devotees, basically. Basically it's a matter of analysis. It depends on whom you are taking with you, right? Even if a non-devotee, if they have proper attitude, they are humble, they are able to appreciate the Dham, then they can stay for more time. I mean, you know, so it basically for them, it is very important to be in the association of devotees, and they should be able to appreciate that thing. If they find faults with the devotee association or the Dham, then it is not advisable for them to stay more than 3 days.
So these housing complexes which have come there, very close to the main Vrindavan, and just on the outskirts of main Vrindavan. So then that is all, it will lead to a lot of offenses actually.
See, it all depends. Like, again, you know, the point is that you have a humble attitude, you have a service attitude, then, you know, you can continue, you know, your spiritual life in the Dham. But if you are unable to appreciate and if you are unable to tolerate, see, there are austerities also. Like, for example, in Mumbai, you know, we have hot climate, you know, humid climate, and we have quite comfort also in our house. But in Vrindavan, the problem is that even if you have a nice house, there's no guarantee the light will be there. And then, you know, we know the extreme heat and cold there. So the Dham has like that, you know. It is, even Mahapur also, it's very unpredictable. Everything is, you know, Jagannath Puri Dham also. All the Dhams, they are, you know, some austerity will be there. So it's not necessary that every devotee will be able to tolerate that austerity. And you can tolerate it for maybe a couple of days, but, you know, for a long time, I mean, you know, it all depends on the devotee's comfort zone. So again, you know, the point is not about more of, you know, tolerating austerities or, you know, facing problems. The most important thing is, you have an important service in the Dham. Right? So that is the most important element. If you have, then okay, discuss with your guru and then go like that. That for non-devotees, you know, 3 days recommended, specifically for those who are kind of critical about things in the Dham, critical about the devotees, you know, they might criticize certain things. For them, it is not recommended to stay more than 3 days. Now, Mayapur Dham, you know, Navdeep Dham is definitely, you know, quite, very merciful. So they can stay there for more days. Generally, see, materialistic people, they will not live for a longer time because of the extreme conditions in the Dham. They'll, you know, they will all come back. So it's not that, you know, they desire something and they will be able to do it, because Dham also has specification. So this is the point. Okay. So there are devotees in Navdeep. You know, we have our ISKCON, such a, you know, world headquarters of ISKCON in Mayapur. So obviously you can just imagine how many, you know, tens of thousands of devotees are there who are living there. And then there are devotees in Jagannath Puri also who are all having some service. So it all depends on situation. So see, generally, in our experience and observation, we see that there are devotees, they have their particular inclinations for service, and they decide accordingly where they would like to serve. And obviously, they should have the facility to stay in the Dham also. Not that, okay, you have your work, business and everything in Mumbai, and then you are thinking of suddenly giving up everything and going to the Dham without any plans, you know, and you have children also. So that kind of thing obviously will not work. Even if you have some certain inclination of service in the Dham, but it's not practical to leave everything like that. So, yeah. So I hope it is clear. Any comment on this? Any more question on this? We have to make sure, you know, in the Dham, we have proper association and proper hearing from bona fide source. So proper guidance has to be there, association has to be there. Then we can really serve in the Dham nicely. But in general, you know, if you see Prabhupada's general mood, you know, he requested everyone to preach. And so for preaching, one has to go outside the Dham. So that is in general, you know, like generally speaking. because we need a lot of help outside. Now, Dham, there are so many devotees already. So we need a lot of people who can reach in the Western countries because so much work has to be done there.
Okay.
I mean, I think, you know, for a devotee, it all depends on what is the most, how in which way they are able to contribute the maximum to the mission. That is, I think, for individually, they have to think like that. So if I'm a teacher, you know, and if there is a lot of need in Vrindavan, BGIS, and, you know, my passion is teaching, especially, you know, teachers, you know, in academics, then I would probably, you know, maybe my guru might instruct me to go there and teach. So it all depends. In any case, you know, see, wherever we in the Dham or in outside the Dham, the attitude of preaching has to be there. The attitude of sharing Krishna consciousness has to be there. Somehow or the other, because see, Dham mean, does not mean that only Dham Vasis are there. Many people from outside also come. So, it is, you know, the preaching is the essence of our movement. That, I mean, it is the essence of, I think, you know, every devotee. I don't think any advanced Vaishnava would not preach. You know, see, Bhadnanandi, they have their own role. They have their, but, you know, their entire life is actually a preaching to others. And in fact, when they are doing bhajan also, so in that bhajan, what they are praying to the Lord, they are bestowing, you know, they want to bestow a lot of compassion on the fallen souls. So they might not do it personally, but they will pray to the Lord that, you know, kindly deliver them. So just by their prayers, the Lord will send someone, some devotee will be empowered, and then that devotee will be, he will deliver them. So whether Bandhanandi or Goshtanandi, the preaching mood is always there. So there's a matter of differences, you know, that they don't physically do it externally. And Goshtanandi, they will do it physically. You know, externally they will do. Bandhanandi does not do it. So, so it also depends, you know, like there are Bandhanandis who are Nityasiddhas. Obviously then, you know, they can also deliver the entire world through their bhajan. And there are Bhadnanandis who are sadhakas. So they want to progress from Kanishta to Madhyama to Uttama. Okay. But so our process in ISKCON is you process at higher stages by the mercy of Mahaprabhu and get the mercy of Mahaprabhu by preaching. So you go from Kanishta to Madhyama and Madhyam to Uttama by preaching. And so this is ISKCON Srila Prabhupada standard. But if you go outside of that, you will find that some, you know, they still focus on bhajan. Okay, now obviously there is, you know, the difference between they are praying to the Lord, you know, as a compassionate thing, because they are also sadhakas, so we are also sadhakas. But our efforts is going to attract the mercy of Mahaprabhu soon, because we are trying to reach to others. That's a shortcut. But Bhadnanandi means you are depending on the strength of your own bhajan. Okay. So the process becomes faster when you preach, you know, as a sadhaka. And Krishna says, right, that those who are preaching, they are more dear to me. Satyamapa also bestows mercy on them first. So is this clear? Everyone understands this? Any comment or question? See, the entire, like if you read Prabhupada's books, if you hear the Krishnavansa philosophy also, it is very confusing. It is not straightforward. It's not black and white. If Prabhupada says different things at different times. So you have to take all the statements of Prabhupada and then you have to reconcile all of them. And you have to think about it deeply. that Prabhupada said in one place, he's saying like this, in another place, he's saying completely opposite. Now, one particular example I would like to share is a very typical case. So, for, you know, because Ram Navami is coming, so Prabhupada, if you have read his statements and his letters and in conversation, Prabhupada made it very clear that Ram Navami means, you know, the fasting has to be there till what time? Anyone knows?
Afternoon?
No.
Noon.
No, not noon. It is actually, if you see the written statements of Prabhupada and his conversations, and you will find that he says fasting of Lord Ramchandra should be same as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, which is moonrise. Okay, so but you know, the thing is that practically when disciples were there with Prabhupada and they had celebrated Ram Navami with them, Prabhupada asked them to break the fast at 12. And not only, you know, break the fast, but he asked them to have regular grain prasadam instead of having Ekadashi prasadam. So this, you know, happened a couple of times. It was not just one time. You know, so one would probably think that, okay, maybe in one particular situation, Prabhupada made some exception. But this happened actually regularly. You know, in the Ram Navami, you know, couple of Ram Navami time, Prabhupada actually asked them to break the fast at noon and then have regular grain prasadam. So that is the reason we are having the fast break at 12 noon. And we are also having regular grain prasadam. Otherwise, you see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Narasimhadev's this thing, you know, we have Ekadashi prasadam. Because technically, we are supposed to break the fast after the Lord's appearance. Now, we know that Lord Ramchandra appeared after 12, I mean, you know, the midday. Right, but normally the fast has to be broken with Ekadashi Prasadam. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Narasimha, you see at Janmashtami also same thing is applicable, right? But not with Nityananda Prabhu and Balram's birthday. So in the Shastra it is mentioned that, see, first of all, Balram, Nityananda, their timing is not known. Their timing of appearance. So that's why we, you know, break the fast at 12 noon. And we have regular grain prasadam. That is a standard which is, you know, set by Prabhupada, basically. So there is a rule in the Shastra that even though it might be a fasting period or Ekadashi, but if the Guru wants, in the, you know, request or the instruction of a guru, one has to follow that. So the guru can actually make some kind of special arrangement where he might instruct us to break the fast or have regular grain prasadam. And obviously from a preaching point of view also, we see that this standard is more flexible and easy for accepting to the devotees as well as general mass of people. Why? Because obviously, see, now the thing is that, you know, we are fasting almost throughout the year, and then our relatives are seeing that, and so they will feel that kind of thing that, oh, you know, joining ISKCON means you have to fast so many things. So who wants to join them? Right, we are doing Nirjala Ekadashi, you know, which is something dangerous for everyone. You know, just by the name itself, people start shaking. So then what to speak of really following that? Right? You know, and then obviously we know, itna sara restriction, there is no tea, there is no coffee. Non-veg and all that, you know, like normally Hindus do it, but no tea, no coffee. Udari kafi log to wahan pe hi band kar dete hai. Uske baad, then, you know, following every Ekadashi, you know, twice in a month. And then, you know, so See, it's not just about Ekadashi, but we have to follow the appearance, disappearances of our acharyas. So, usme bhi fasting hota hai. Our guru, unka bhi fasting hota hai. So, kitna fast karenge, you know? Like, Prabhupada ne ek letter mein likha tha, ki the body should not be unnecessarily disturbed. So, he was saying that we should not fast more than what is required. Otherwise, the soul is actually, the body will be disturbed and the soul cannot perform bhakti properly. So, like, you know, anyways, you know, when we are actually, see what happens and the tendency, how it goes, you know, whenever we are about fasting, we don't think that, okay, it's an opportunity for us to do something extra for the Lord. The first thing that comes to the mind is, are baap re. Economy, you know, who is going to eat this again, Sabudana Khichdi, and, you know, again, you know, we feel that kind of reluctance in the heart. Instead of thinking that, oh, this is an opportunity for us to do some more Shravanam Kirtanam, the first thing in the mind will come is, are. So, this happens, you know, and that's why certain things, Prabhupada, that, you know, he was flexible with certain things. He was not so strict. So, yeah, I mean, you know, so this is one of the examples. So, where, you know, when the guru will, you know, instruct, I gave this example connected to what? I was discussing something.
Can we stay in the dham for more than 3 days?
Huh?
Can we stay in the dham for more than 3 days?
Yes. So what I was saying, yeah, okay, I recollected. What I was saying is that the Shastra is actually very confusing. It is very complex to understand because one has to find out the hidden meaning. One has to find out what the Shastra is basically saying according to the circumstances. And that is the reason we require Guru to understand. So we are talking about, you know, Prabhupada's different statements, opposite, like, you know, completely opposite statements at a particular time. And so we have to reconcile all these statements and then we can actually understand. So for that, we must have proper understanding of Prabhupada's books. Okay? So this is the thing. So for anything, you know, in general, so it does not mean, like, you know, Prabhupada is saying that a devotee should try 24 hours a day. It doesn't mean that, you know, the devotee starts imitating and he leaves everything and he just focuses on chanting the holy name 24 hours a day. Now, if you want to chant the holy name 24 hours a day, first of all, how many of us can do that? Second thing is, can you, for 24 hours a day, you have to leave everything. You know, you have to leave your duties, responsibilities, everything. You cannot chant 24 hours a day with all your work and everything, for sure. Because the material world will send you a lot of anxieties. So it will be a disturbance. And obviously you have to spend 7 to 8 hours of work every day. So chanting 24 hours a day, it's out of question. Then, you know, it does not mean that devotees just pick up one statement of Prabhupada and they try to follow that. No, Prabhupada, one time, you know, when devotees were constructing Vrindavan temple, you know, one disciple was actually very anxious. You know, he was feeling anxiety because of the work pressure. So he went to Prabhupada and he told him that, you know, I was thinking that I will come to the dham, I will release the dham, I will chant the holy name and search for Radha and Krishna. But here you are, you know, just engaging me in all this, you know, cement work, counting the number of cement bags, managing material and everything. Prabhupada said, for you, chanting is cement, cement, cement. So, you know, you see, Prabhupada just, you know, did not ask everyone to chant the holy name 24 hours a day. He engaged them in practical service because obviously he understood that, you know, not everyone can chant 24 hours a day. Plus, he had a task also. See, if the spiritual master gives a task, you cannot tell him that, you know, it's recommended in the Shastra that I should chant 24 hours a day, even if you are able to do it. We have to. Because chanting the holy name should make you humble. That is the first and foremost thing. In fact, we know from Chaitanya Sikshastakam that Trina api sunichena, after that only you can chant constantly. So humility has to come right before chanting of, constant chanting of the holy name. The humility has to come right before. So you, when humility is there, you have to accept the superior authority also. So, you know, the problem, this is the biggest challenge. The biggest challenge, to accept someone as an authority and to take guidance from them. You know, see, like one time Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning that after he was nominated for the Journey Within, you know, he was the New York Times bestseller. After that, you know, he did mention, you know, and I was also there in the audio conference. So he did mention to all of us that in Kali Yuga, you know, it's not so difficult probably to go to the Himalayas, do austerities, tapasya. But the most difficult thing in Kali Yuga is to cooperate with each other. And so he was praising all the devotees who are involved in the promotion of Journey Within. And he was glorifying them and he was thanking them that, you know, because of all of your cooperation, we were able to, I was able to get this position of New York Times bestseller. So cooperation is actually the most difficult in Kali Yuga, because we have to surrender our ego, right? Other things are quite relatively simple, but cooperation is most difficult. So, yeah, okay. I hope that everyone understood, you know, the point. And so, you know, the bottom line is that don't jump to a conclusion or don't jump to any particular activity just by reading one statement of Prabhupada. We have to analyze from every point of view. So it all depends on circumstances, specific individual case, you know, and then we have to. So Prabhupada also said, you know, that one who perfects in deity worship will go back to God in this same lifetime. So now, does it mean that, you know, the devotees who are worshipping deities, you know, and probably they might not be able to chant also throughout the day. So does it mean that they are less, you know, or Prabhupada spoke so much about book distribution. So he said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will personally come and pick you up, those who are distributing books. Bhaktivinoda Thakur will, you know, specially make you stand out from the crowd. So, but it does not mean that others are also less important or other services are less important. It all depends on specific case, you know, like that. Okay. So comments. Okay. Let's move to another question. Okay, Chintamani Mataji, you had a question, right?
Yeah. That was regarding the deities we have in the temple or in the altar, different deities. So how do we sort of
reconcile? Yeah, so should we worship different deities, right? That is the question. Can we have different deities? See, actually, specifically for Krishna, the worship is exclusive. In Bhaktisamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami does mention a particular term, which I am not able to recollect. But, you know, something that means, which is very focused and very exclusive to Krishna only. So it doesn't mention about, you know, other incarnations or other avatars. So, you know, if you have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Radha Krishna and you have Narasimha Dev and Jagannath Baldev Subhadra. So I think these set of deities are quite, it's quite okay. But okay in the sense that you have to have the proper mood. Okay, so you don't worship Narasimha Dev just because he is, you want to have a relationship with him. So that becomes a multiple thing, you know. Because Narasimha Dev is an Aishwarya Bhav. You are in, you know, if you have a, you want to build a relationship with Radha and Krishna, they are completely Madhurya. I mean, you can have different types of worship with Radha and Krishna also. You can worship them in Aishwarya Bhav also. But, you know, it has to be focused, one-pointed attention. And generally, the devotees who are worshipping Krishna, they will find complete satisfaction in worshipping Krishna alone. But if you have Narasimha Dev deity for protection and destroying of obstacles from your devotion to Krishna, then that worship is in the right direction. And similarly, if you have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, that means you are a perfect Gaudiya Vaishnava devotee. Or means, you know, you are trying to become a Gaudiya Vaishnava follower. Because the mood, and again, you know, the mood is that you don't worship Jagannath Baldev Subhadra as the way the Pandas do in Jagannath Puri, in Aishwarya Bhav, or thinking the Lord is actually Jagannath. But the way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu perceived Jagannath, which, you know, which is basically he saw Shyam Sundar in Jagannath, Krishna in Jagannath, and was worshipping that particular form of Jagannath. So that separation mode, you know, the Vipralamba Bhav is to be cultivated. If that is the thing, that is the case, then your worship is bona fide, actually. Your worship is exclusive. But if your worship is diverted, then, you know, it's not recommended. Now, see, the another possibility is there that you have exclusive devotion for Krishna, and but there is also, maybe it is possible that, you know, you might also have affection or attachment or inclination for a particular incarnation of the Lord, like Lord Rama's pastime or Narasimha pastime. Then in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you know, Sanatana Goswami also makes the point that generally when the Lord is expanding from Krishna to Rama to Narasimha to Vishnu, and so similarly Radharani also expands from Radharani to Sita to you know, Lakshmi, and then, you know, again many forms of Lakshmi in Vaikuntas. So similarly, the devotees also expand in these various leelas. So it, I think, you know, it, that is also quite possible that if you are inclined towards a particular form of the Lord other than Krishna, but obviously you have the same, you know, you have intense attachment for Radha and Krishna also, then it is possible, you know, that a devotee might expand also and cultivate that second relationship with one of the incarnations of the Lord or different incarnations of the Lord. So that might be possible. But like, I'm not 100% sure about it. You know, he just mentions about this phenomena in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that, you know, how a devotee actually can expand in different avatars, because the Lord is also expanding simultaneously. So I'm not sure if this also is true for sadhakas. But you know, my feeling is that, you know, it is possible. I mean, if a devotee has a desire, the Lord will fulfill that desire. I don't see any. But the question is whether this desire arises or not. Because when one is worshipping Krishna, then the worship becomes very exclusive. Yeah, okay. So, does this make sense?
Yes,
okay. Other devotees? Any question on this? So idea is, you know, not basically we don't encourage to have more deities, you know, like everyone and everything. Then it becomes a bit kind of a mixture. Okay. So, Rajiv Prabhu, Jwala Mataji, any comment or question? Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Ujwala Madhuri, are you there? Okay. Anyone else? Abhika Kishori, you are there?
Yes, yes, I'm there. No question.
Yeah. So, you know, the DD is actually given by Prabhupada, Gaur Nithai, you know, and then Radha and Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jagannath Baldev Subhadra. So this is a complete form, like, you know, set of Gaudiya Vaishnav devotee. You can see you are a typical Gaudiya Vaishnav when you have Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha Krishna. But obviously the mood is most important. So if you do not have the mood which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu represented, then you, probably you are not Gaudiya Vaishnav and your mood will be different. But devotion to Krishna is focused. Okay. Okay, next question. I think it was Ujwala Matri's question. She was asking about Lakshmi Narayan, the deities, you know, accepting the worship in the form of Lakshmi Narayan. So I just was mentioning that it is not Lakshmi Narayan who is accepting. It is obviously Radha and Krishna only, personally. It's just that for neophyte stage, because we don't take things for granted and cheaply, Prabhupada or the Acharya is recommended to worship Radha and Krishna also with awe and reverence. So they will have that kind of attitude for the Lord, the respect for the Lord. Okay? So that is the only thing, but obviously the, you know, and the more we advance, then we'll also, the worship will become more sweet. It will be bereft of awe and reverence with time. But obviously it has to be in line with the Shastric injunctions. Should not go beyond that. Rup Goswami makes this clear in Bhakti Samrit Sindhu. Okay. Okay, so any other question? I think devotees, they have a lot of questions, you know, but I think they should write it down or they should send it, because I'm pretty sure that everyone has question about a lot of things. Otherwise, you know, right. It's like, I mean, you know, we know that we don't know many things, and, you know, many times our mind will start wondering that, okay, why is this like this? So I think it's good that, you know, you should all write it down, or you can, even if you don't write it down, you can just message in the group. Like directly you just message in the group. As soon as you get a question, you can just post it in the group. And then, you know, we can take those questions later on.
Prabhuji, last week on Saturday you had mentioned, if we have any affinity for any particular deity.
Okay, BG class, yeah.
Yeah. So, can you speak about that, please?
So, what exactly? Like, what exactly you want to know?
I don't know. Maybe I haven't felt any such affinity till now.
Maybe, probably, yeah, because you have not started deity worship. You know, because deity worship is actually a very personal.
Okay.
Or maybe, okay, how many times are you going to the temple in a week?
In a week, तो नहीं, but once a fortnight हो जाता है.
Yeah, so that is also, you know, one lacking. Now see, it's quite simple to get affinity for a particular. I mean, are you asking specifically about the deity, or you are asking about, you know, the form of the Lord, like, you know, different avatars of the Lord?
I think आपने बोला था कि I'll speak on this in the next class. तो
Okay, I will just speak, you know, what I feel about how you, you know, how, like, what you know, Bhagavad Gita says, Krishna says that, you know, he will reciprocate according to the way we approach him. So if you develop the affinity for a particular form of the Lord, then you will receive that form will reciprocate. So if you develop attachment for Krishna, then Krishna will reciprocate personally. That is what we discussed in BG class. It's not Vishnu that is going to reciprocate through Krishna. It's Krishna. If you have affinity for Ram, then Ram is going to reciprocate. So that is clear. Okay. Now coming to the attachment for the Lord. You know, so that can, as we discussed many times earlier, I think, you know, Prabhupada did wanted that, you know, the deity worship is extremely important. Now Prabhupada said that if devotees are staying close to temple, then there is no need for worshipping deities in the house. Then temple becomes the center of attraction for the devotees. So going to see the form of the Lord in the temple regularly, or if you have a deities in the house, that will actually create a lot of attachment for the or affinity for the Lord. And you know, you while chanting also, it's very easy to remember the form of the Lord. So it's very important, you know, deity worship, one of the most potent form of devotional service. I mean, do you feel affinity for any particular form of the Lord, like Jagannath Baladev Subhadra or Radha and Krishna or Gaur Nithai? Like, you know, do you have that inclination?
Yes, we have Radha Krishna at home.
Oh, so you are worshipping Radha and Krishna?
Yes.
Okay, and what is your standard of worship?
Actually, worship, mommy does every morning. Cleaning okay. The temple and worship, and my duty is offering the bhogas.
Okay, so is that the only thing that you are doing?
Yeah, mostly, and maybe little special on festival something.
Yeah, so now what you have to do is you have to spend more time with the deities every day. And not see the you know, I will tell you one thing. The problem with service is, and you know, I think every devotee, this, you know, they will face this problem. The problem with doing practical service is that many times we do, you know, we might do it as a ritual, or we might not do it thinking that the Lord is actually really present and, you know, with all the bhava and emotions. Many times it because when you worship deities over a period of time, it becomes like a, you know, like some sort of ritual for us. You know, if we do not consider them, think them as having a relationship with them, you know. Like, for example, you have to think, you know, when you are waking up the deities that, okay, or you're doing the Mandarati, or, you know, in the morning, you are waking up Gaur Nithai. And then, you know, they are actually going to take bath in the Ganga. And so it's your service to wake them up every day. Mm-hmm. So it should be connected to Smaranam also. It should not, see, Smaranam, if Smaranam is not there, then it will become like a regular thing for us. You know, we'll do it externally, but internally our mind is somewhere else all the time. And for that, if you want to focus your attention on them, you have to spend a lot of time with them. So a lot of time means, you know, if you can spend 1 hour a day, like, you know, you chant in front of deities.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have a liking for a particular set of deities, which is attracting your mind, you know, like, for example, the Radha Krishna that you have in your house is probably not, you know, like, you know, everyone has their personal attachments and attraction to a certain form of the Lord, okay, and nothing wrong in that. If you think that, okay, you want to, you saw some deities outside in a store and you got really attracted to them, or you saw deities in some devotee's house, you got attracted to them, or you, you know, or for you, the, your, you know, the Ishtadev or the most important deities is, you know, whichever you are most attracted to. So you have to have pictures of those, you know, deities in the house. And if possible, you can also try to replicate those deities in the house. And so those deities will always remind you of your original attachment, you know, your real attachment towards that particular form. Like, you know, for example, you know, I have, you know, I, my favorite deities are Radha Shyam Sundar of Alachua. You know, specifically Shyam Sundar of Alachua and Radharani of Alachua and Vrindavan both. So that is my special affinity for them. Okay, and obviously then I have other deities also, like Radharas Bihari, Radha Gopinath, so, and Radha Madhav in Mayapur. So these are my pet deities, you know, and I have special affection, and yeah, maybe, you know, Radha Madan Gopal also in Nasik. Because, you know, you see, when you spend time with them, you develop a relationship with them, attachment towards them, and then you automatically feel that they are, you know, they are your family members. You have some connection with them. You will feel like that. So you'll always, you know, start thinking about them. Right? So it has to be done with, obviously, you know, we have to know that, you know, and that smaranam can come, you know, when you are doing everything together. The chanting the holy name, associating with devotees, deity worship, spending time with the deities exclusively. Like, you know, it is just like chanting the holy name when you are, you know, yourself. See, even chanting the holy name also, how will you remember the form of the Lord? I mean, see, chanting the name doesn't it in itself make you, you know, Krishna will not appear before you, right? Like, just like that, he will not appear before you. So how will you know the chanting of that, the name of the Lord that you are chanting, what is the form of that Lord? How will you know that? So that is assisted by deities. When you develop a special affinity for a particular deity which is most attractive to you. So then when you chant the holy name, then you can actually remember, and basically you will automatically think about those deities, or, you know, you will actually focus on the personal form of the Lord. Does this make sense? You know, you can try this.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, otherwise, chanting itself, hearing Bhagavatam, see, these are the processes that will purify your heart. But, you know, one must have knowledge about the Lord. Like, you know, for example, if you don't know about Krishna, what are his activities, what is the tattva of Krishna, then you cannot actually really focus on his leelas and pastimes and qualities. You are not aware only of Krishna's qualities. How can you, how will chanting lead you to the qualities of Krishna? So the knowledge that you receive, you know, which is Sambandh Gyan, that will also assist in chanting the holy name. So when after you hear, see, when you hear Shravanam, so there are three stages of, you know, so that is, starts with Shravanam, it goes to, then it goes to Varanam, and then it goes to Smaranam. Okay, so we are not talking about the nine limbs of bhakti here, we are talking about the three stages of advancement in spiritual life. And so it begins with Shravanam. So after sufficient hearing of Krishna Katha from a bona fide source, so Varanam means that you accept that, okay, Krishna is actually the focus of your life, the center of your life, or the goal of your life. So Varanam means you are in the acceptance mode. And then in Smaranam, there are five stages. So five stages means, you start thinking about the Lord initially. That's the first stage. After that, you try to meditate on certain leelas of the Lord. That is second stage. Then third stage is constant meditation on the Lord, because in the two successive lower stages, there will be interruption in your meditation. But then third stage is constant meditation. And then fourth stage, you will automatically remember the Lord. And in the fifth stage, you will go into samadhi, trance. So these are the five stages of Smaranam. Now, how does that Smaranam come? Smaranam can only come when you do Shravanam and when you accept that the Lord is the object or the goal of your life. Okay, so without hearing, there is no question of reaching Smaranam also. So that's the reason Shravanam is the key to spiritual life. It is actually the first process of bhakti. Starts with there, because you attain knowledge of the Lord. And so it becomes, your chanting also will be enhanced by that. And now you have chanting, you have Shravanam, and you also have the deity worship. So three most potent forms of bhakti are covered in this. Right? So see, Bhagavatam and association, they are connected to each other, because Bhagavatam is basically what? Bhagavatam is same thing. You have to hear Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. So basically connected to association. And then you have the last one is the worship of Tulsi Rani or residing in a dham. Okay, so dham is also very important. You definitely feel the extra potency of the dham. You will feel very blissful in the dham, because you will be connected to the leelas of the Lord. So just by going to the dham, it will remind you of Krishna's leela, because you are at that particular place. Okay, so dham has that potency. So now, that's how, see, all these things are connected to Naam, Roop, Gun, Leela. Correct? Naam is chanting. Roop is deities. Gun, Shravanam. Leela, again, Dham. Or you can hear about the Leela also. So these are all connected to each other actually. And then Tulsi, the worship of Tulsi Devi means, because Vrinda Devi is actually the queen of Vrindavan. And by her mercy and by her blessings, only one can enter Vrindavan. So, in one particular, I think I have probably read this in Chaitanya Charitamrita or maybe in somewhere else. But Prabhupada mentions that by chanting the holy name of Krishna in front of Tulsi Maharani, one develops sufficient spiritual strength. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was actually doing preaching, he was traveling to different places, he used to carry a pot of Tulsi leaves, and he was always chanting in front of Tulsi leaves. So by chanting in front of Tulsi Maharani, you acquire extra potency, because you are in contact with Vrinda Devi. You are in touch with Vrinda One. So that's why Vrinda One, residing in Dham or with Tulsi Maharani is the same. Okay. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that if you chant in front of deities, see, when you go to the altar, go near the altar, everyone is there. Not just Radha, Krishna, associates of the Lord, Giriraj, Shaligram, the Acharya Parampara, Goswami, Panchatattva, Tulsi Maharani is always located at the feet of the Lord. So when you chant in front of deities, that will have the most powerful effect. You can develop a very intimate and intense attachment to the Lord also at the same time through this process. So if you chant before the deities, when you are chanting in front of deities, you are, how much time you are spending? 1.5 to 2 hours every day. So why don't you chant in front of deities? Because obviously we understand that normally grihastha devotees, they won't get time after their chanting. They have many responsibilities. So then why not to make the best use of a bad bargain? I mean, obviously nothing is bad in this, but it's a common saying, you know. So you utilize that time, you know, for chanting in front of deities. And if you can get the deities of your liking, that is ultimate. And if you are not able to do it, then at least you can get one large photo. You know, large in the sense, you know, at least you should be comfortable to view the deities, you know, in a proper way. Okay. So you get that, you know, framed in your house and you chant in front of them.
Guruji, by chanting in front of them, we mean even if our eyes are closed, it's fine. Are we supposed to see them at that time? Is that important?
See, initially you have to see them because that's the reason we are having the deities. You know, when the Lord is personally present before you, why you have to close your eyes? You know, so I also don't understand this. You know, like when I go to temple for chanting, my eyes are always open only. I don't close the eyes. If you have practiced chanting in front of deities for a long time, then you can close your eyes to see whether you are able to remember the Lord or not, or whether the form is coming, you know, in your mind or not. You know, it's a different thing. But when the deity is himself, you know, personally present, then what is the need of closing the eyes? In fact, I will tell you one thing, you know, if you close your eyes, you will be distracted. But if you are always in touch with the form of the Lord, then even if you are distracted, your mind will come to the, you know, it will focus again. It's quite easy to bring the mind.
So that's when we are engaging the sense of sight in Krishna.
Yeah. See, it is not just about the sense of sight. It is basically about you are spending time with the Lord. So, and the Lord is also seeing you. It is not that we are seeing the Lord. He is also glancing at us. And see, now, okay, let me, you know, conclude that, you know, this session by this, the thing that, you know, happened with me today. You know, I wanted to share because it is also connected to the last experience that I got. So now today, as we know, you know, I had shared that, you know, Radharani's lotus flower had fallen from the shoulders, the left shoulder, and I had got it last Monday only. You know, it happens only on Monday. So this today, you know, and as you know that, you know, last Monday means, you know, the Saturday before that Monday, what happened is, you know, I saw that Krishna's flower had, you know, fallen down and I couldn't get it. So then I thought that, okay, if the Lord wants to give me, he will give anyways. Okay. So then on coming Monday, Radharani's this lotus flower fell down. So I got that. So I thought, okay, you know, if I didn't get Krishna's flower, then quite okay, you know, I have got Radharani's mercy. So that is more than enough. And then today what happened, Krishna's flower fell off and it went right to his lotus feet, in between both of his lotus feet. And so I saw that, so I asked, you know, the pujari, and somehow, you know, he gave it to me. So I realized one thing, that if I get Radharani's mercy, then Krishna's mercy will come running behind me. That is for sure. There is no doubt about it. Okay. So this is the thing, you know, deities, you know, when you are with the deities, don't think that they are statues, they are idols. It is, they are going to reciprocate with you. Okay, and you can express everything to them, you know, all feelings, everything. It's a very personal thing. You have to experience that. This will not happen, so, you know, because it's very difficult for a sadhaka to focus on the form of the Lord without practicing to spend time with the deities. Okay, so I think you all can experience, you know, and you'll see the difference. But spend time means, you know, not just 10-15 minutes, you know, try to spend more time daily, half an hour, you know, 45 minutes, 1 hour, whatever you can. So, or one way is also you can do kirtan every day, you know, in front of them and see the form of the Lord also simultaneously. Or you can also sing bhajans for them. You know, whichever way possible, you sit before them for half an hour, 1 hour, and spend time like that.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, you know, this is my personal experience and humble, you know, suggestion of, you know, in case if you want to develop your affinity. Obviously, a devotee never feels that they are attached to the Lord, because it's a wrong way. The more we try to get attached to the Lord, the more the hankering will also increase. So we can never say that, okay, I'm satisfied with this attachment, you know, because the ultimate attachment is prema. Now, see, these reciprocations are okay. You know, the Lord is reciprocating in a particular way, but does He give me prema? No. He will give me prema only when, you know, He will think that I'm like fit for it. So it's a long, long way. It's a long struggle also at the same time. Right? So actually bestowing prema on the devotee, that is the greatest achievement. Or you know, so that means basically you are completely surrendered to the Lord. That is actually most important thing, not these reciprocations. These are like, you know, okay, you know, if I am going to temple, okay, the Lord is reciprocating in such a way. That is His mercy, okay. But the biggest and greatest mercy is bestowing humility and prema. That is the greatest achievement. Okay, so... Okay, so any other devotees, any comments? Okay, all right. So thank you all for joining. Hare Krishna, Dhanvat Pranam to all.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.